Good morning, church.
Buenos días, iglesia. And happy Easter. Felices Pascuas. It's good to be here today and in the house of the Lord. It's been a very busy weekend. After this lesson I would do now, we have the Easter egg hunt. I know many are here for that. It begins at 12:30, so I won't keep you here too long. But I do want to talk about Easter. I do want to talk about this holiday, which is called Easter. We enjoy our families. We enjoy the Easter bunny. We enjoy the Easter egg hunt, which is all fun. But there's also a bit more to the story of what Easter is all about. Because the fact that Christ died and rose again is everything. It really is everything. We have a whole Bible. We have this church. We have Christianity. But if Jesus Christ did not die and rose again, all this would just be fun and games. It would just be us getting together and just talking about some good feelings. But the fact that Christ died and rose again gives reality to this Easter. It adds a bit more to our celebrations. It gives it true depth and meaning. Easter, the most important and oldest festival of the Christian church, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and held between March 21st and April 25th on the first Sunday after the first full moon following the northern spring equinox. That's Easter on the calendar. Easter in word, the word comes from the word Ostern, which means east in German. And why did the Germans use the word east to apply to Easter? Because the sun rises from the east and goes down in the west. It represents how the sun rises up, how it, in some ways, every single day the sun resurrects. And so when they think about Jesus Christ resurrecting, they linked the east to Ostern, is where it comes the word Easter. Easter is not a bad word. It does not come from pagan origins, as some people think it does. There is a goddess called Eöster that a man named Alexander Hislop falsely accused Easter name to come from. But no, it comes from the word East, Ostern, in German. And even the word German, even the word resurrection in German is Auferstehung. It's also linked to resurrection, for which we have our word Easter. It's not a bad word. It just means literally resurrection. And it's based upon how the sun comes from the east and rises again every single day towards the west. But that's the word Easter. The fact that Christ died and rose again is everything. Here's the story, Mark 15, beginning in verse 37. The book of Mark, chapter 15, beginning in verse 37. For Easter to have significance, Jesus Christ had to die. And so, the only perfect person who took all of our sins upon himself, who had no blame, but took upon himself all of our blames, all of our sins, for Easter to be such a good story, it had to have a very bad beginning. And that bad beginning, if you will, is the day that Christ died. Mark 15, verse 37, then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. 14 chapters of Jesus Christ living and teaching and breathing. In Mark 15, he dies here in verse 37. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." And some women were there watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. And they had been followers of Jesus and had cared for him while he was in Galilee. And many other women who had come with him to Jerusalem were also there. This all happened on Friday, the day of the preparation, the day before the Sabbath, as evening approached. Unlike Christmas, which is on a random date somebody made up, Easter actually took place around now, throughout history. We know around now, Jesus Christ died and rose again. Joseph of Arimathea took a risk and went to Pilate and asked for Christ's body. Joseph was an honored member of the high council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus was already dead, so he called for the Roman officer and asked if he had died yet. The officer confirmed that Jesus was dead. So Pilate told Joseph he could have the body. Joseph brought a long sheet of linen cloth. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in a cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. So on Easter, we celebrate that Christ rose again, but it's also important that Christ died, because when he died, it was taking with him every single sin that was created, that was done, that was being done at that time period, and would ever be done. Every single sin, because sin causes death. Sin causes bad things to happen. We know this, ultimately leading to death, and Christ had to pay that price. He chose to pay that price, and so Christ does die. Mark 16, but Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? Because they would put these huge stones in front of these tombs. And so they're like, who's going to do this for us? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. At that point, Christ was already done with that death. He had already paid the price. It was now time for him to rise again. And see, him rising again is also very important, because it shows that Christ can conquer death. Sure, death did take him out at one point, but he also overcame death. And this is good news for us, because if we have Christ in our lives, then we too will overcome death. Oh yes, we will all die in the flesh. Our flesh will die. But we can say to ourselves, we can know that through Christ, I can live forever and ever with him. That's the power of Easter. That's what Easter means. I will live forever and ever with the Lord because Christ overcame death for me. Verse 5, when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were saying, shocked, but the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died. The woman fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. Then they briefly reported all this to Peter and his companions. Afterwards, Jesus himself sent them out from east to west with a sacred and unfailing message of salvation that gives eternal life. After Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman who from he had cast out 7 demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen them, they didn't believe her. Afterwards, he appeared in a different form to 2 of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed back to him to tell the others, but no one believed them. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And anyone, including everybody who is here today, anybody who believes and is baptized will be saved. Jesus Christ died and rose again for a reason. It was not just to impress everybody, although it impressed everybody. It was not just to do what nobody's ever done before. It was also to give us something. To give us the power, to give us a chance. And so I know and I believe and I live this fact to anybody who believes in this story, who believes in Christ and is baptized, will be saved. They can look forward to having Easter in their lives. Because I pray to you, I pray this morning, Easter isn't just a thing we go to today. I pray it isn't just a celebration that today is gone tomorrow. I pray that we are living Easter, that Easter is real in our lives. Jesus Christ died and rose again to make Easter personal for everybody here. But anyone who refuses to believe in this will be condemned. The fact that Christ died and rose again is everything. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30. And why should we ourselves risk our lives hour by hour? For I swear death, I swear, dear brothers and sisters, that I face death daily. This is as certain as my pride in what Christ Jesus our Lord has done in you. And what value was there in fighting wild beasts, those people of Ephesus, if there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul's saying, if Christ didn't rise again, then we could do whatever we want to do then. He's not saying that that's a better life. I have found that a life without Christ is not a better life at all. He's not saying that, but he's saying, if Christ did not rise again, why do we live for Christ? Why do we do this? That's how important it is that Christ rose again. Because if not, just do whatever you want to do. But if Christ died and rose again, then we should be living for him. Then we have a future. Then we have a chance. Then we can be in heaven forever and ever, and we can live a better life right here. He says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say to some of you, don't know God at all. We serve a risen Savior who is alive. And all who are in Christ and in God are still alive. Because some people did die in the past, but they're alive right now. In Hebrews 11, it talks about people. If you go to Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 32, he'll give a list of people who were in the past. People who did great things for God in history. He says about them that there's Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. And by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice. And they received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the flames of fire and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. They died, but they're still alive because through God, people stay alive. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about weary, wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God has something better in mind for us, so they would not reach perfection without us. Then he says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, these people are alive right now. They're watching us. Sometimes I think to myself, if I recognize and realize that God is watching me, angels are watching me, the saints are watching me, I have a hard time sinning if I knew that. If you think about that every single day, I believe that'll hold us back from doing sins if we recognize such amazing people are watching our lives right now. But the main point is this, nobody in God dies. Nobody who is in the Lord will ever end their existence. And not only will they be alive, they'll be alive and happily alive. There are people right now who died in the past, but because of God, are watching us because they're with God. And God is life. They are alive. And we will also not die. We will also not die. We will also be alive and well and aware of things in heaven. That old Easter story, that traditional Easter story, is maybe the most famous account of something that was not alive becoming alive again. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, rose again. It is the most famous of all the stories. But all throughout the Bible, this is God's theme. This is what God does. He takes what is dead, what is broken, what is not working, what is hurting, what is full of pain, and makes it happily alive. This is what God does. This is what Easter is. Of course, Jesus Christ is the most important story. That's the biggest one. But it's not the only time it happens. The whole Bible is this theme of God taking broken things, dead things, and making them alive again. Abraham and Sarah were 90 years old and 100 years old. The Bible says Sarah's womb was pretty much dead at that point, obviously. And yet, at that age, they had a child named Isaac. That's that Easter power, even in the Old Testament, the power of resurrection, of taking what is old and dead and making it new and alive again. Even Isaac, Abraham's son, was called to be sacrificed. But no, God took care and saved Isaac. Nineveh, the great city of Nineveh, God told Nineveh, Nineveh has to be destroyed. There's too much sin in Nineveh. It must go. But because they repented, because Nineveh decided to repent of their sins, God took a future destruction of them. They were meant for destruction. God said, no, they will live. They will survive. And I tell you today that many of us may have things in our lives that are meant for destruction. We might not have any hope. We may know for a fact that in our future is not good things this morning. But with the power of God in our lives, with the power of resurrection in our lives, he can transform our destiny from destruction to life. Jonah was swallowed by a giant fish in 3 days. He should have been dead. He should have been God. But Christ himself says, just as Jonah was in that fish for 3 days, so I will be in the ground for 3 days, but rise again. Ezekiel and a valley of dry bones. I love this story. Ezekiel and a valley of dry bones. Go to Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. Ezekiel came to a valley. It may have been a battlefield. And all there was bones there. Ezekiel 37. And Christ brought him there for a reason. Just bones. Death, destruction. But God wanted to show him, even in those days, before Christ came, he wanted to show that Christ is all about, God is all about resurrection, renewal. He says here, Ezekiel, the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? I know for a fact that mentally, spiritually, physically, we may be living in a valley of dry bones. As Brother Clark said earlier, our marriages may be dry bones. Our relationships might be dry bones with our children. Who knows what it might be? I think we all have dry bones in our lives, but I tell you right now, once again, this Easter Sunday, what it means is that he can resurrect and renew and restore. And so he says, son of man, can these bones become living people again? And Ezekiel says, Lord, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to give breath and put breath into you and make you alive again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Allow the Lord to transform our lives this morning. Allow him to restore, to renew, to give life to the dead things in our lives again. We may be dead. We may be living our lives right now that say, I'm just going how I have to go. Just putting in the timestamp, just going day in and day out, but I don't feel alive. This is why Christ died on the cross for our sins, so we could feel alive again through him, through Christ. Verse 7, so I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. He said to them, speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath. From the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke the message as it commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. God has a desire that we leave our dead lives, our dead sins, and are restored and are brought back to life again as active people with things to do. The Christian life is never a boring life. The Christian life is never a dead life. The Christian life is adventurous. There are things to do. There's adventures to go upon. There's things to fight. And we become part of the body of Christ. Lazarus, another time, he was dead. Christ said, "Rise up again, Lazarus." Christ told Nicodemus, he said, "Unless you are born again, you cannot be saved." That's Easter. Over and over and over again. And all these things were simply pointing to what Easter truly means, so that I could say this morning, I am living a resurrected life. Even right now on earth, my life is resurrected. But when I die, I'm going to heaven and I can truly see what resurrection means. I am born again. I love Easter bunnies and I love Easter eggs and the food and the family. You can have that and a resurrected life. It's not either or. It's not in competition. The fact of the matter is that Christ is just more important than all these things. We can have that and enjoy everything else. And I pray we can all say today that I am living a resurrected life. And that when this flesh fades away, because my soul's already resurrected, I'm already saved. But when this flesh fades away, this soul, the real me, will live forever and ever with God in heaven. I pray we can all say that and enjoy Easter eggs today and enjoy candy and friends and family and food, because I certainly will myself this day. I also love the fact that I am living Easter. I'm living the whole Bible message. Easter is alive in me, and I pray it's alive in you. I'm carrying with me in my life the Bible tradition of something that was dead that is now alive. All those stories, Abraham, Isaac, Lazarus, Ezekiel, and now Alex. Now I'm part of the whole story as well. Everybody here should be part of that story as well, carrying on the tradition of what is dead or once was dead is now alive. Something used to be lost is now found. Something that was doomed to hell is now on the way to heaven. I pray we can all say that this day. There is plenty of evidence that Christ, a man named Jesus Christ, lived. Even historically, even people who don't believe in the Christ part know a man named Jesus lived at one time. They know he died, but he also rose again. But even evidence supporting that will not save us. We can know it's true, but it still will not save us, just that knowledge. No, we have to show its truth in our lives through faith. Because pure evidence, pure scientific, historical, geographical evidence is never enough. Faith saves, not evidence. So what about Christ's resurrection? What does it really matter to you? Our resurrected lives in Christ really matter. Our unity and changed nature really matters. Because resurrection also means we become nicer people, kinder people, loving people, united people. Resurrected families through the body of Christ. Changing hell on earth to heaven on earth. Because there are times in life where it's just hell on earth. I understand that. But I believe also that when we are with the body of Christ, we are loving each other, united. It's heaven on earth. Easter is also, Easter is about things rising again. But Easter is also about things never rising again, that hopefully stay in the ground forever and ever, like death and sin. Easter is about life coming to fruition, but it's also about keeping some things dead, and that sin in our lives. That through Easter in our life, we do not resurrect our sins anymore. We stop doing the same old sins. Keep that in the ground. But that we come back as a new person, as a new man, leaving the old man and the old sins behind. People need to see that they don't, that people have to see that they don't even need physical evidence of Christ. They see us. We are the living evidence of Christ. Easter is real. Christ rose again. We serve a living Savior. And I pray we can all live according to that truth today. If you're a Christian, apply that resurrection to your life today. If you're not a Christian this morning, again, the Bible says, if you believe in Him and are baptized, you will be saved. It's that simple message that begins all the most important things of our lives. I pray we can all say that today as we stand and sing.